thank you, Lord, that you are holy, Lord, and that you have always been holy and you will always be holy, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, and we can come to you for salvation, Lord. We can come to you for forgiveness of our sins, Lord, because you are holy. Lord, we just thank you for each and every person that is here this morning, Lord, that you will just touch their hearts, Lord, through this music, Lord, Lord, and through the reading of your word, Lord. We just love you and we thank you for all that you have and will do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 24 this morning, Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13 through 35. And as we know, this is a Sunday that is, we call it a Resurrection Sunday. And in Resurrection Sunday, Jesus has already went through a tough few days. You know, that he has been beaten, that he has had a crown of thorns put upon his head, that he has been hung on a cross. You know, and these things, you know, were for me and for you. And as we looked at Matthew this morning, and we think about, you know, the scripture, you know, in Matthew and Luke and all the different scriptures, it says, you know, whenever he was hung and he was about to die, he said a phrase, and it's called, "It is finished." It is finished. It's not finished in the sense that, hey, I'm over with, you know, I'm gone, you don't have to worry about me anymore. It's finished in the debt has been paid. It has been taken care of. You do no longer have to have a sacrifice for your sins because I was the ultimate sacrifice that is once and for all. It is finished. I am through with the paying the penalty for sin. Folks, that is something, that's a hallelujah moment. Man, come on now. Man, Jesus paid for me. He was my substitute. He was your substitute. Guess what we couldn't do without him? Go to heaven. We couldn't have a relationship with the Father without him because he was our substitute. He took our place. He took our penalty for our sins and he put it upon himself and he died on that cross. But y'all have heard that old saying, it's a song. I didn't hear it this year, but I usually hear it every year. But it's a guy speaking. He's talking about, you know, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The Satan thought he won on Friday, but come Sunday, he knows that he is defeated forevermore, that he will never have the chance to get control because Sunday's coming. Guess what? Sunday is here. Sunday has already happened, folks, and we can praise God because of that. And Sunday it happened. The women went to the tomb. They found the tomb was empty. Man, an angel rolled the stone away, and there was no one there. Man, they said, them guards were thinking, where in the world did he go to? Man, he is gone. Man, we were sent here to protect this tomb. Man, what are we going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to die because they didn't protect that tomb. But guess what? They had no control over that tomb because no one came through the front door. Jesus came through the top, and he came out, and he was victorious, folks. And we can have that, as we sang a while ago, you can have victory in Jesus if you will but just give your life to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And I love in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we ask, he is faithful and he is just. Forgive us of our sins. He is faithful. He's willing. He is just. He can forgive you of your sins this morning. So if you're living in bondage, if you're living this morning in just a heavy load upon you, folks, we have the answer. And his name is Jesus. He is the one who can take you. And he is the one that can give you comfort in your life. As we go to this passage, this is one that I've never actually went to. I always go to the resurrection. But let's go just a little bit past the resurrection to the Emmaus Road. There is two guys walking down the Emmaus Road, and someone else shows up. And this is just a wonderful story. It's a story that shows who Jesus is and what he does to us when we walk with Jesus. And I love, there's one verse in here especially that I really love in this about what Jesus does when we walk with him in our hearts. But let's start with verse 13. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleophas, you know, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not heard the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?'" Hey, that's kind of funny, ain't it? Like, what are you talking about? It says, "So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, you know, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we were hoping that he was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it to be as the women had said, but he did not see, and they did not see." In verse 25 says, "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on these in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And when he went in to stay with them, now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they arose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy, Lord, and for all that you have done for us, Lord, in our life, Lord, in this great, you know, story, Lord, that has been told, Lord, of your meeting with these two men on the road, Lord. And what a beautiful time that was. Lord, we just ask that you would meet with us here right now. Lord, that our hearts would burn, Lord, as we hear you, Lord, as we listen to your voice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look through this passage, there's so many good things within this passage. But we see the revelation of the resurrection. You know, Jesus' appearance in Luke 24, 15, and 16, you know, that he had appeared to these two men. Just think, he had appeared to the ladies, you know, at the tomb. You know, and then now he's appearing to these two guys. It was not like, well, one person saw Jesus, so, you know, so that must be true. No, there was over 5,000 at one time that saw Jesus, that knew that he was a resurrected Lord. We can guarantee, we can have confidence in his resurrection this morning. They have all these stories out there, all these myths out there. Well, Jesus really never died on the cross. He just went into a coma and they put him into the tomb, you know, and he just woke up. Man, he did not just wake up, folks. He rose from the dead. He was graveyard dead. He was there, and he was there for what we would be until the Lord returns. But the Lord, he had more power. He had the power over death, and he was raised again to appear to these people. You know, the disciples' initial confusion. And I would look at this today in my own heart and me seeing it. You know, when the Lord talks to us, you know, when we're not saved, it's kind of confusing, ain't it? Like, what is that? What is that? What is that feeling down in my heart? You know, and then someone comes and they tell you about Jesus, and it just makes a different boy, and it just brings everything into focus. And that's what Jesus is desiring to do for you today. He wants to bring himself into focus with you. You know, I was sitting at my mom and dad's house. It was been a couple weeks ago, and my mom looked out the window. They live on a farm and have, you know, a big pasture out in front, and it goes good ways, probably 40 acres. No, it's probably 60 acres out there, or in front of the house. And my mom said, there's something out there in the field. So I took this set of binoculars that my dad always keeps on the window ledge there at the house to see stuff in the back of the field. So I picked up in the binoculars, and I couldn't see them. You know, out of them, you know, it was just blurry. I had to move that dial, you know, to get things into focus so I could see things clearly. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to do, to see things clearly. Because this world has us wrecked. This world has us in sin. This world has us blind to the things of God. Folks, and we need to see Jesus. What did I see? 9 turkey out there in the field just grazing around. Oh, no, I ain't telling y'all where my daddy lives. I know some of y'all. Y'all might be outlaws. Might need some Jesus. But there was a divine intervention, you know, in their understanding of these disciples. You know, what did Jesus do? He asked them some questions. Hey, he was trying to figure out, hey, what do you know? Where's your faith at? You know, you've heard what the prophets have said of old. You know what's going on, or should know what's going on, but you don't. So Jesus elaborates. And I love this. Whenever he says, he goes back to Moses. He goes back to the beginning, and he tells all of the prophecies about himself. Of, hey, this was prophesied thousands of years ago, that I would come, that I would die, and that I would raise again, and I would go to be with the Father and sit at his right hand. Folks, it's been prophesied, it's been told of so many years, and we say, well, Jesus is only in the New Testament. Jesus is all throughout the Old Testament, if we would just look for him. And we have to do that, you know, in our study, in looking at New Testament. And a lot of y'all's Bibles, you know, they have these little things probably in the middle of your Bible, or they have it down here at the bottom. They may have it on the side that has these little references, and it's always referencing back to the Old Testament, because that's where the prophecies were made that were fulfilled in Jesus' day, because of who he is. because that he was intervened in that situation, and that's what he did in our lives. Man, and the gospel is wrote throughout this whole thing, how he intervened with them. But I would tell you that he intervened in my life. Whenever I was 17 years old, the Lord saved me. He intervened because I was heading to hell. And the Lord said, no, I want you to become a believer. I want you to put your trust and your faith in me. And I did that, and he transformed. He intervened in my life because I was in trouble. And I knew it. And some of you sitting here today, you may be in trouble and you may know it. But guess what? That day, oh, guess what? It wasn't even a Sunday. Can you believe that? You know, you can be saved another day besides Sunday. You can be saved on Saturday, Saturday night, any day of the week. Mine was Saturday night, and I was coming home from Camden. We had just finished vacation Bible school. Oh, and let me tell you this. Man, I can get on this. I went to church my whole life. I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Went to all the youth events. I did everything. I was the good little church boy, but I was lost and dying and going to hell because church will not save you. It is Jesus Christ that saves. And it was right after vacation Bible school and right before church camp. Whoa. Speaking of church camp, need to be praying for church camp. It'll be here before you know it. And lots of kids get saved in church camp. Folks, and I was coming home from Camden that Saturday night, folks, and the Lord was convicting me, and he had been convicting me, but he was working overtime that night, man, and my soul was just heavy that night. My shoulders were heavy. My head was heavy, and I could not get past all the anguish that was inside of me. And the Lord, it was like he was telling me, and I believe he was, if you drive past that church tonight, you're going to die and go to hell. And you think, Brother Jimmy, that's kind of severe. Whenever you get to that point, you'll know it. That it was could have been my last day. And I was 17 years old. I could have drove by there, had a wreck, and died and went to hell. But I started making, you know, little things with the Lord. Said, Lord, if the lights are on at the church, I'll stop. It's Saturday night. Is the lights on at the church on Saturday night? They were that night. Every single light in the church was on. I stopped. I went by Miss Teresa Dillard, and I went and I said, where's Brother David at? And I went in the back and I talked to Brother David, and that night I gave my life to the Lord. My biggest fear was what was everyone going to think, because, you know, I was more faithful than probably 80% of the people in the church. Me and my dad were there early. We were there. And I worried about that. And the Lord was telling me, don't worry about that. If they got a problem, they got a problem with me, not you. So we need to make sure that we know Jesus. So don't sit here today and say, well, I'm worried about what people will think of me. If people think something badly of you because you get saved, man, they are the ones with the problem. They are the ones who need to be at the altar crying out for forgiveness of their sins and asking Jesus to save them. Because God intervenes in our lives, in our understanding, because we do not understand the things of God until we come to Him. There was the fulfillment of prophecy, and I love this. You know, in Luke chapter 24, 25 through 27, Jesus explains the Scripture. Who better to explain what they mean than Jesus Christ, who is what? The Word. He is the one who wrote them. And I said, no, he didn't physically write them out on a piece of paper, but he wrote them in the hearts of these men who wrote the scriptures that we have today. And Jesus explained to them where we kind of stumble around on. We say, well, I don't know exactly what that means. Jesus knew exactly what it meant. And he shared that with them. He explained the scriptures. And I tell you, if you come to Jesus, he will open your heart and he will open your eyes to scripture that you can understand what he is saying in salvation. Are there some deep things in scripture that are hard to understand? Yes. But there's one thing that's not hard to understand, that a risen Savior died for me and that he asked if I would put my trust and my faith in him, that he will save me. That's not difficult. I think we try to overcomplicate things in our life, but he tells us that we have to come to him with childlike faith. Don't try to put more in it than what it is. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to have a relationship with you, and that's all. He wants that for you. He connected between the Old Testament and his mission. You know, what he had come to do from the Old Testament. We can go back, you know, even to the book of Genesis that I will tell you, and I'll get a little hint out here on this. We got a half a chapter left in the book of Genesis. We've been there a long time. So I need someone else to step up for Exodus. Someone to step up and help Miss Rita out and read Exodus, because she's probably read 90% or 95% of the book of Genesis. So let's step up and help in that situation. So he connected, you know, between the Old Testament and his mission, what he came to do. And I would tell you that Jesus fulfilled what he came to do. Whenever he rose again, he fulfilled that. We have the recognition of the risen Savior. You know, the breaking of bread. You know, in Luke chapter 24, verses 30 through 31, that he broke the bread of them. And I tell you, Thursday night, we had the Lord's Supper. And I said, y'all had the Lord's Supper on Thursday night? We sure did. Yeah. Some of y'all didn't get the message, so I'm just... But we had the Lord's Supper on Thursday night, and that is what they call Maundy Thursday. But what it actually is when the Lord had the initiation of the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And whenever he had that initiation, he described to them, you know, how his body would be broken for us. And how his blood would be spilled out for us as a new covenant. But he broke the bread with these two gentlemen, and that familiar act that opened their eyes. And I believe that's why we need to be doing the Lord's Supper, and we need to be participating with the Lord's Supper, because it does something to us, exactly what it's meant to. He says, do this in remembrance of me. It takes us back to that point where we remember what the Lord has done for us. And the significance of communion with Christ is very important, because he asked us to do that. There are two ordinances, you know, in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to do both of these. You know, we're commanded to be baptized and we're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. And it's something that is special. It is something that will help us grow in our faith in Jesus Christ if we would but do that. So we see this breaking of bread, how significant it is for these guys. It opened their eyes and it made them see who Jesus Christ is. And this is where I've been looking forward to getting to here, is the personal encounter. In 24, verse 32, their hearts burned within them. I tell you, when you're walking with Jesus, it burns within inside of you. It just does something different in your life. Man, it gives you great joy. It gives you great confidence. It gives you great strength. Whenever you're walking with the Lord and He is speaking with you and you are speaking with Him through prayer, through meditation, you know, and I'm not talking woo, woo, woo meditation. I'm talking about praying and thinking about the Lord and what He has done for you and really meditating, pondering upon that in your life. Does the Lord burn within you whenever you're with Him? How often do you think about the Lord? Does it get you excited? Man, you're sitting there and you start thinking about the Lord and what He has done for you, and you're reading, reading His Word, and you're praying, or you're just sitting at your desk, at your office, or whatever, and the Holy Spirit just comes upon you, and you just feel His presence, and it's just this burning within you, this flame that is being lit. Folks, and it is something that we need to make sure that it goes forth out of us and other people can see that we have this victory in Jesus this morning. And He is there to do this on a daily basis. And I love that feeling. I want to be addicted to that in my life. Addicted to the Holy Spirit moving within my heart. And this importance of personal revelations. You know, we have this importance of knowing Him that we have to talk with Him. Because God's asking us to do this constantly, to have prayer and to talk with Him. But a lot of times we look at our lives and we think, I don't have time. I don't have time for You right now, Lord. Whenever He's telling us that this is the time that You need me the most. That we need Him in our personal lives, and we need to slow down and we need to look at the Lord and we need to converse with Him, talk with Him. And we need to respond to the revelation, the transformation of the disciples. You know, they're from despair to joy. You can hear, what did they say whenever they were walking down the road? They had a sad countenance about them. They were sad because they thought that this Jesus was the one that was going to conquer Rome, in essence, and was going to make Israel this great nation again, but they missed what Jesus was doing. He wasn't there to conquer Rome. He was there to conquer sin. Because sin is the problem, not Rome. Our hearts are the problem, not our society. Our hearts are the issue. And He is there trying to bring them from despair into joy. And that kind of goes with that burning within us. When we walk with Jesus, when we talk with Jesus, it does something to us. You know, and it transforms our lives, and now we're different. Not because we have changed our behavior, but because our heart has changed, and that change has affected our behavior. There's a big difference. Because behavioral modification doesn't last long. A change of heart is what changes us, truly. They had boldness in sharing the news, you know, with others. Could you imagine? You know, and they tell us, you know, that they went back to Jerusalem and they told all the people. But what if you had a personal encounter with Jesus like that? Would you go tell people? But I would tell you, we do have personal encounters with Jesus like that. And we need to go tell people. It's just like the woman at the well. You know, she went and she told these men. And she tells them, you know, that, hey, I have met a man that has told me everything that I had ever done. Folks, and that is something that will change someone. And they seen the difference in the countenance on her face, I'm sure, in that city. They said, wait, this woman is coming to talk to us and tell us about this man that she calls, it must be the Savior. We're going to go see what she's talking about. What changed their opinion? They would usually probably just blew her off, said, ah, this woman, she's just, something's wrong with her. But what happened? I believe her countenance was different. She looked different. She acted different. She sounded different. She sounded with or had confidence and joy within her heart. You know, why was she going to the well at noontime? Because everyone else went early in the morning. She went because she didn't want, the other women did not want to be seen with her because of her reputation. And she went then, but she came back different than she left. Oh man, that's good stuff. She came back different than she left. She left that town as a prostitute, as a woman who has had five husbands and was living with a man that was not her husband. And she went back to that community as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ who knew him, had met the Savior, and she was different. And that's what we should have in our life. We should be different than who we were before we met Jesus. We should have boldness to share. We can go to the book of Acts, the first part. You know, when Peter and John, you know, they had great boldness to preach the gospel. They had great boldness to tell people and tell the officials, we can't help but speak of Jesus. I love that statement. You can tell us all day, you can beat us all day, you can do whatever you want, but we can't help. It's just what's down in the well going to come up in the bucket. What's down in our hearts going to come out in our actions and in our voice. And that should be us today. And then we have a commission to share, testifying to others about Jesus and continuing the mission of spreading the gospel. We can go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19, 20. You know, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he told us what we are to do. He gave us not a suggestion, but a command to go out and to share the gospel. And what is he going to do? He's going to be with us always. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. So as we are here on this Easter Sunday, think of these two guys that are walking down the road with sad countenance because the Lord has been laid in the grave and they heard that he had rose again, but now they know it. You may have heard Jesus rose again, but whenever he comes to you, his Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins and you say yes to Jesus, then you know. It's not because you just read it in Scripture, it's because you know it in your heart that God loves you. And he died for you this morning. You know, as we have a special this morning, India's going to come and do a special. I just want you to think about this Easter day. And think about what the Lord has went through this week for you and for me. And whenever you sit there and meditate upon his word, just thank him. All the people cry, holy. All the angels cry, holy. He is holy, Lord God Almighty. India.
That cost a life, that paid my way. Death its price, when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a try to hide this precious blood that gave me life, but in 3 days he breathed. night again, and he rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. He's coming back for you. There is a blood that sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound. As the chains they fall upon the ground, so pour it out to cleanse my soul, and let his precious, precious glory flow, because it lives to make.
Alive this morning. I'd ask that you please stand this morning as we have a time of invitation. We're going to sing Goodness of God, but just think of the goodness God has given us this morning, of how much he loves us. So let's pray, then we'll have a song of invitation. If you have any decisions that you need to make today, you may be here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a more beautiful day to give your life to Jesus than today.
give your life to Jesus. So, Lord, we just come before you, Lord. Just thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Just be with us and help guide us and direct us within our lives, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that if there's one here that's lost this morning, Lord, does not know you, Lord, that today would be that day that they would give their life to you. Lord, and others that have decisions that they need to make, Lord, that you have put upon their heart, Lord, that they would be obedient to you, Lord, and surrender to you in that decision. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.